Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Odyssey celebrates the holidays, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019 in just a second. The Knicks are playing tonight, BT, in an interesting matchup against Orlando, who has been a terrific defensive team. Orlando, one of the best teams in the East, so it's going to be a nice battle. Do you care at all about the NBA Cup factor that is at play tonight?
I don't know that I care so much about the NBA Cup. I do care about the Knicks. So while Knicks are playing the game, like I'm interested.
That's,
you know?
A big deal.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I get it, but that's like the big deal about tonight.
No,
like if the Knicks lose, then I guess they're out of this stupid Cup tournament.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't have any heightened elevation myself because of the Cup. Yeah, again, with the cord and... I mean, there's a little more hype around it. I just want to see, you know, Knicks coming off a nice game. Granted, you know, they were supposed to kind of blow out their last opponent. They did, but they jumped on him. They played defense. Bridges bounced back. He needed to. Like, the Knicks' offense is insane.
I know, but the inconsistencies are starting to now tick me off.
Well, that's what I pointed out the first week of the season. I want to see that get resolved. And, you know, I think until Mitchell Robinson comes back, and keep in mind, you know, Mitch, we won't see until, I would guess, mid-January, if I had to take a guess. He's one more foot injury away from being Sam Bowie. And if you honestly, if you're old enough to remember Sam, hey, he was a very talented player at Kentucky, you know, taken very high in the draft and over Jordan. And, you know, he just kept fracturing his foot, and then he was done. And, I mean, how many more surgeries on your foot can you have? But if Mitchell Robinson comes back and he's right, you know, now you get a couple of situations where the rotation has a lot of options. You can, against certain teams, you could have him at the five. You could play Cat at the four, which is what he did a year ago with Gobert when the T-Wolves were an outstanding defensive team. The Knicks offense is going to score, you know, $115, $120 against anybody. So the key for this season, I think right now I saw that in terms of advanced defensive metrics, the Knicks are about 21. If they could get that, because I don't think they'll do anything enough to get top 10. If they could become 12, 13, when it's all said and done, with this top three, top four offense, then the Knicks are in the mix for a championship.
They've got to play better defense. The offense is elite. It's the greatest offensive Knicks team I've ever seen. It's one of the best offensive teams in the league, metrically, or whatever you want to say. It is the best offense, most efficient offense in the NBA. Too much inconsistency. You lose to Utah, lose to Dallas, spank, then the Hornets or Pelicans, whatever it may be. Like, it's too inconsistent. They're still finding their way, and ultimately I still think they're going to be okay, but if you don't play defense at a higher level than what the Knicks are playing, they're not going to win. And that's why I love tonight's matchup. Forget about the silly NBA Cup. I don't care about that. I care about tonight because it's a great defense in Orlando versus a great offense in the Knicks. I'd be very curious to see what gives. I know it's the regular season, but maybe there's going to be a little more intensity because of this stupid Cup.
Yeah, a little bit. I think don't have, you know, Cat money or Brunson money.
So will the defense win out versus the offense? Old school me says, yeah, defense always wins out. I want to see today's NBA, the way that it's wide open, usually you would think the offense and the spacing and the knocking down the threes. So we'll see if the Knicks are able to beat the better defensive team tonight.
I was watching a little bit of the Timberwolves Lakers last night, you know, and checking on my boy DiVincenzo, who's had a rough run out there, and our guy Julius Randle. And they put up, I think it was on ESPN, I think, or wherever I stumbled upon it. And the numbers are pretty close. Like last year, Karl Anthony Towns, like, Randle's like 0.2 points behind him, and basically it's the same field goal percentage. Big advantage shooting the three for Cat, but Even, I don't know if everybody's watching. Randall's numbers are pretty good out there in Minnesota.
Couldn't care less. I'm surprised you're into that.
I mean, I didn't seek it out. I stumbled upon it. I'm like, and honestly, Sal, true story, as I was flipping, I was trying to find that thing on the Patriots that you were telling me about.
Yeah, it's on Apple Plus.
Oh, okay, because I was going through Netflix and my wife and the kids were homeless. I don't know how to get to Apple, so I was a prisoner. I couldn't do it. Jeez. But I was trying to find that Patriots dynasty thing. And the only reason, full disclosure, that I really stuck with the Timberwolves is as soon as I was banging through the channels, DiVincenzo had the ball. I'm like, let me see how my boy's doing.
I get it. And in that scenario, maybe you check in on it. But no, I mean, I've seen the little highlights here or there. Randall's having it. I'm happy if they have success, but I'm just not paying attention to it. I'm more concerned about the Knicks, and we'll see what happens tonight. All right, let's get back to the phones on Soto, 888-808-1019, or really whatever else you want to discuss on this Tuesday here. Joey is in Long Beach. What's up, Joey?
Hey, fellas.
Joey.
New York. Long time, anytime. I'm just wanted to say my sense, and if I could, one other point, that 6 weeks from today, we're going to anniversary of when the
Joey, you got a bad line there. I'm going to put him on hold because I don't want to hang up on him off because, you know, we don't hang up on callers on this show. See if he can get either off the speaker or a better line, and then we'll get right back to him. Andrew is calling from Long Beach. What's up, Andrew? All right.
This one's worse.
Now I'm getting angry.
Well, I mean, you set yourself up for that. If the next one didn't work, you were going to be happy. What the hell's going on?
I'm not sure, but Hoff's fist pumping Carton in there. We got two calls gone awry here.
Hey, Carton, we're doing our show. Get out of here.
Come
we're
on. Yeah, what would happen if this somebody burst into the control room on your show?
Just walks in like he still works here.
What would happen if somebody burst into the control room during your show and
kick him right out?
all 96 pounds of Mount Dukes would beat him up.
I was concerned about Pete.
What? His weight?
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, you coming in blazing like that?
No, I was concerned. I thought maybe he had, like, you know, disorders.
Oh, jeez.
No, I saw Pete the other night. Came to the comedy show.
He told us.
Yeah, I had a blast.
He had a good time.
You think you looked extra thick?
Did you feed him?
What are you hiding right now? Why are you laughing?
No, because I feel bad. He's standing right there. Yeah, and he's a great guy.
He's the best.
I don't like to make fun of people.
What I mean, you're
Craig. You already made millions doing it.
Yeah, I gave it all away.
Yeah, come on.
Was that the Lululemon Rangers sweatshirt?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I didn't get the nice box like you did. I had to go there and get it.
Oh, you bought it?
No, I didn't buy it. But
then stop complaining. I wasn't sent to your home. Sorry. It came to work.
What kind of hat you got there? That's a nice looking hat. What is
this?
That?
Some weed company.
Is it really?
Yeah.
BBT was on or something.
I'm telling you.
You buy enough, they give you a free hat.
I know you're not, but you seem like you're a little goofy today.
No, that's right before bedtime.
What are you doing here today?
You know, just saying hi.
Did you tape your show for Saturday? Is that
No, I just had to meet some people, say hi, you know.
Don't start the rumor mill again.
Yeah,
I had to meet some people. You're starting the rumor mill.
Whose job are you taking this time when you come back?
When's your contract up?
one more year. I'm going to start working on it.
Yeah, me and you both.
Look at this guy.
How's the Fox show going?
No, it's good. It's good. It's fun. It's different. You know, it's not this, obviously, but it's awesome. You're talking about stuff that we never talk about here. I didn't get to talk about the Golden Bat thing today, but I'll probably talk about it tomorrow. We were going to, and then because they announced the suspension for the zero kid on the Trevor Lawrence hit. You know, football's still football, but we were going to.
You do a lot of NBA, like the NBA Cup or anything.
We do a little NBA now, but once you hit like February 20th, it becomes NBA heavy. Always the NFL, but it becomes NBA heavy for sure.
That's the thing I love about doing what we do here is that it's baseball almost all year round. Love that with the two teams. Obviously, football is huge. And Knicks, we talk a lot of Knicks now because they're relevant, but
you also do more baseball now because the Jets suck, the Giants suck, and the Soto sweepstakes isn't, you know, an everyday thing.
What did you think of the Dave Sims hire?
It's it. I love it. I think Dave's a great play-by-play broadcaster. I'm still waiting for the thank you text from him.
But I would you help get him the job?
Get him the job. Got him the job. And I'm still waiting.
What about being so bad when you did the game that like we can't be worse?
They're like, you better call Sims.
I'm just kidding. How did you help get a job?
I think it's a really good hire. I'm a huge fan of Ricky's also. You couldn't have gone wrong with either guy.
Ricky's good.
You know, Dave is also part of the history of the fan. Yep. Right, the soul man or the coal man, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's great. I think I think he'll do a great job, not a good job.
I got
think
a couple of quick. Wow, that was an interesting insert. Good job, not a. Did you just say a good job, not a great job?
I think he'll do a great job, not a good job.
My bad. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Couple of quick hitters for you.
Go.
You think Shane Dable's back?
I think Dable's back. I think Shane's gone.
Interesting.
Wow.
I think the dumbest decision they've made as an organization in a long time was doing Hard Knocks. And it's so against everything the Giants have stood for 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And they embarrassed themselves. They came across Mickey Mouse.
Didn't they have to do it? Isn't there a rule like if you didn't do it within a certain thing?
Not that one, because that was the new one. There's a thing about the old school one, the training camp one, where guys are getting cut and all that.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Where I think you could, if you had a new coach, you didn't have to do it.
If you were a playoff team, there's three or four rules about criteria. Sure, yeah.
But that was so antithetical to what the Giants have always been about. Dude. Thank you.
Very nice.
And I think Joe Shane, who's a nice guy, by the way, mm-hmm. when your 10-year-old boy is on camera going, "Dad, go get a quarterback. You only get one shot at this job."
Oh, dude.
And the crazy thing was that, as I understand it, the Giants had the right to say that can't air. Why, if you're John Mara, mm-hmm. why would you let the segment air where I'm not going to sleep tonight if he goes to the Eagles?
They definitely have editorial power. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They were asleep at the wheel. All right, so interesting Giant stuff. Who do you think who do you want the Jets to hire?
For coach, you mean? Yeah. Look, I think it's time to go after an offensive-minded head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cliff Kingsbury would fit the bill, especially if we assume that within a year, there's going to be a young, unproven, maybe rookie quarterback here for the Jets.
Yeah.
Not knowing what Rodgers decides to do. He's clearly proven the ability to make Kyler Murray a good quarterback. And what he's doing with Jaden Daniels is crazy. So if you told me that we were going after Cliff Kingsbury or a guy like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm good with it. Ben Johnson's obviously a big name.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you have to consider, let's just pretend there's 8 openings. Bears, I think the Bengals might have an opening. The way the season is going.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you have Jacksonville, some of those teams.
Miami might.
Miami just re-upped him, though.
What?
Mike McDaniel.
No, no, no. It's getting bad down there. Did you see what was said in the locker room the other day?
And people saw him shivering on the sideline.
I want you to finish, Craig, but one of the guys said, "This guy's supposed to be our leader. He's standing by a heater during halftime shivering."
Yeah.
That's what he actually said.
Yeah.
How do you bring that guy
back? I guess he lost his vape pen or something.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
But, look, there's only 32 of these jobs, so I think they're all good jobs if you want to be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a guy, let's say like a Johnson or an Aaron Glenn or even a Kingsbury, use him, where you're going to be in demand, multiple teams are going to interview you, isn't the Bear job better?
It's right up there. There's no question.
Isn't the Bengal job obviously better? Outside of cheap ownership and all that.
Yeah they're very cheap.
You got
cheap.
A quarterback.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, we don't have a quarterback.
Or a good owner.
Speaking
Woody's
of the,
awful.
Yeah, well, listen, Woody's not running the team.
Well,
his 17-year-old kid is.
Yeah.
I heard the same things, actually.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it out there as hyperbole.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, the kid makes decisions.
I didn't bring it up, but now that you did, I mean,
yeah, that's not fake. That's real.
Or would you say make decisions like social media tweets or what?
Dad, I was on Reddit today,
and the
collective wisdom of the Jet fans on Reddit is that we do A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something as big as like firing Salah, what he did.
Something as big as Hassan Reddick should be playing now. Don't have that hard line.
We're a mess, dude. We're so pathetic.
I heard the same thing.
Look, the fact that Joe Douglas has, quote unquote, never been happier.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Where's Soto going before we jump into some other stuff here?
Your Mets are, drinking from the wrong fountain, buddy.
Now, hold on. I have some rapid fire as well. We were talking about the Bengals before.
Yeah.
Do you think Boomer's upset that Joe Burrow is now the greatest quarterback in Bengals history?
Not even a little bit.
Really?
No, because if you asked Boomer prior to Joe Burrow getting there and you said, "Who's the greatest quarterback in Bengals history?" he would have said Ken Anderson.
Yep, I've heard him say that.
Come on.
He has.
Now, and look, he knows the... Every generation surpasses the one before it. The league has changed since when Boomer played. Boomer's place in NFL history and Bengals history is very secure. He's in the damn Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And that's a team that never had a Ring of Honor. And I think he was the second class to get in. He's good. And I think if you asked him, like, take Wonder Woman's rope.
Mm.
He's got to tell the truth. He has no problem with Joe Burrow surpassing any and every record he's got.
Yeah, and it's funny because on that topic, I did ask him what he thinks is the best variation of the morning show, and he did, of course, say Boomer and Geo.
No, he didn't. No, then he lied to you.
He got serious all of a sudden over here. Hey, listen.
Look, why can't we all just get along?
We can.
A longer run, of course. We had a pretty... It's all good. It's all good.
All right.
No, look, he's at... By the way, I do think... So, when Boomer and I were together, I called up Peter King once, because he's a big Hall of Fame voter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at Boomer's numbers. And I was, you know, look, we're partners. You want the best for your partner. I was pushing for Tiki.
Yeah. I was pushing for Tiki.
Yeah.
When I was working with
him. By the way, you're right. Now it's like, yeah, your brother was better.
Teach your being.
I mean, being the best shot running back is like being the tallest dwarf in the circus. Who cares, right? But
here comes the full court experience. Go ahead.
No, so,
this is what we want.
Well, I love Tiki. He's the best. Running back, but, you know, just as a guy. He does have the best... I'll say this about Tiki.
Smile.
Tiki has the greatest charity softball game catch of all time.
Dude. Tremendous.
Right?
That was better than Willie Mays in 54 against Vic Wirtz.
Of all time. Sick. Horizontal to the ground.
Yes. Hall of Fame softball.
So
catch,
I reached out to Peter King because he votes, and I go, just out of curiosity, like, where's Boomer when it comes to the Hall of Fame? And he goes, he has no shot. He's never had enough, you know, support. We could even, over time, get to 2 or 3 dissenting votes here to say yes. And I started thinking about it. You know, Boomer's called more Super Bowls on radio than any human being to ever do it. It was Hank Stram.
How many? Do you know the number?
I don't know the number.
But it's okay.
Hank Stram had the record. Boomer broke it maybe 5, 6 years ago before he stopped doing it. Then you had a 25-year career on NFL Today. He is going and should, in my opinion, get into the Hall of Fame as a contributor to the NFL or in the broadcasting wing.
I like it.
Like, when you've done more Super Bowls
mm-hmm.
than any other person ever to live, and you had a 20-plus year career.
Better broadcaster or a player?
He had a more, that's a good question. He had a more successful broadcast career,
right.
And also 3 times as long.
You know, I came up with an idea for a segment, better broadcaster or a player. You didn't like it.
Hey, well, right?
It's not bad, like Barkley, Charles bad. Barkley, Boomer. I mean, Tiki, the options are endless. You can use it if you want.
No, maybe. I'll pass on it. But I mean, you guys said make it like a Tuesday.
He didn't like it.
That's not bad.
Well, like, you can't do it every Wednesday at 1.
Yeah. We're gonna run out of names here.
I mean, but you could still throw it out there on occasion. So you would say Boomer was a better.
Look, I think he's had a more successful broadcast career. Yeah.
Longevity. Yeah. It's almost
like make a Super Bowl and won an MVP.
He's an MVP. He's a Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. As he said, played for the Bermuda Triangle of NFL teams and the Jets, Cardinals,
especially
and Bengals.
Yeah.
And when he left playing football, he was top 10 in virtually every category for quarterbacks. Like,
a little
good.
Bit like Torrey. I mean, if you think about Joe Torrey, who won an MVP, so did Boomer. Joe was a really good player. Not that I saw him, but I know what he did.
Right.
But if he's not the manager of the Yankees and if he doesn't win those championships, Joe's not in the Hall of Fame. Like, Joe got in the Hall of Fame
You wouldn't even know Joe Torre's name if he didn't manage the Yankees. Mets.
That's not true.
You wouldn't know his name.
He's from Brooklyn.
You wouldn't know his name.
Yes, I would.
He'd be another guy.
I would know. Yeah. I would know.
No.
You might not.
I never would have
heard. We played for the same Sandlot team, the Cadets. Come on, dude.
Joe Torre, with all due respect, right? Joe Torre... If he's not the manager of the Yankees, is an afterthought in baseball. Mm.
Well, I'm not saying that he's... Yeah, no, he's definitely not as prevalent.
Like, he was a losing manager until he came to the Bronx.
He's also a broadcaster. Yeah, I mean, I'm also more of a sports fan than you, though. Often admitted, you know.
Yeah, probably true.
Now it's getting uncomfortable.
So how'd you get the free sweatshirt?
Yeah, they invited us to an event at the NHL store.
Oh.
Hoff and I went. They had triple XL. So you got
come on, man.
By the way, I think you look fantastic.
You like the part in his hair.
I appreciate it. How about you? You always talk about your weight. You working out?
Yeah.
Are you working out?
Can you tell?
This guy, for the amount of stuff that you eat, man.
It's funny. So
you don't look terrible.
The other day, no joke, like, I could lose a couple pounds sure, Ozempic. Michael Rubin chasing around his office trying to hit me with a Moderna needle.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, do I really lose that kind of weight? So I bench pressed. I was very proud of myself. 265.
Not bad, dude.
Got it.
Nice.
Like that. Pushing cattle, right?
Yeah, that's
Mark Schlereth goes, I'll do 550 right now. Shut up.
Oh, wow.
Like, all right.
And he did it.
Did you have a spot for the 265 or solo? Do you have a spot?
Not a spot. Of course, not a spot. Yeah. Can't do 265 without a couple good looking girls, without, you know, people in the gym helping.
One time I was filling in.
You don't work out.
Okay.
What's your take on the whole spandex over the G-string spandex thing in the, you like that look?
There's something to be talking about where you get the, obviously the,
it's
the
like G-string. Spandex. No, I know.
Yeah. I think that sometimes this is going to sound counter to what most of us of cavemen think. I think sometimes less is more. I think you have the spandex. I mean,
the spandex is fine.
Let the mind wander a little bit.
We don't need the thing over the spandex, right? It's like, come on, man.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with that look.
I'll show you. Yeah, you are. Yeah, 100%.
He's called
you. It's on your RedTube page. You're familiar with RedTube.
More of an X videos guy myself. All right, we're going to jam it up the A-gap. Thank you, Craig.
What? That's our segment coming up. Yeah, jam it up the
A-gap. What's that? I didn't hear that.
Stick around to find out.
I'm usually home by now. I get you guys for the hour drive home.
What jacket you got there?
Where? There's, oh, it's my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks nice and flashy.
It's great to see you guys.
You still listen to what you said?
Yeah, I called you with the Danny Jones story.
Oh, that's right.
Who's the first person I thought of? You two guys.
Right. You turned it off. Why the hell are you guys not talking about Danny Jones?
I was frustrated. I'm like, the Yankee talk's great. I'm like, do they know? Maybe they didn't know because it just come out.
Yep, we didn't.
I'm like, so someone should tell them.
Right.
I don't know what Dove's doing.
Nothing.
Pop was going back getting off.
It was a Friday.
Yeah.
Why do you tolerate this type of abuse?
Hoff, I'm just kidding. He knows I love him.
He's the best.
We try to, you know, motivation here. That's what it is. So we want to motivate him to, you know.
Like I always say, you know, make a wish is awesome.
By the way, before you go, now, you know, it's hard to get serious with this guy, but a lot of times I get you on, and I've texted you a few times.
Yeah.
Get you on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
You're doing a great thing, dude.
Oh, thank you.
Some of those stories,
the stories are.
What am I getting something for?
Yeah.
Well, because when he comes back, he's taking one of our jobs.
I wouldn't do this.
I worry about today.
I don't want to either.
You guys are safe.
It's good work you're doing. No matter if ignore
it's
this knucklehead.
Job.
No, what you're doing is awesome, dude.
Thank you. You know, as I've said many times, I'm blessed to even be sitting here. Right, to have a second shot at a career, to have come back here and then to catapult to, you know, the show on Fox. And part of the deal when I first came back, and it was not my idea originally, it was, you know, Oliveira's idea, is use your story to help other people. And we have this great microphone, a lot of people listen to it. And now we're 5 years into it. And like some of these stories.
No, they're raw.
Like,
some
I know
of them
the
are
stuff
rough,
I did.
I know they're hard to listen to.
And like, and I could talk, you know, look, I was going to jump off a chairlift. And I'm not saying that, you know, to minimize that. It's real. When you hear other people, normal, random, blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth people who didn't want to go down the road, didn't have even the money I was betting. Like, I've met people, and, you know, I don't talk about the money a lot, but just to give you an example, I thought I was special, right? I'm betting like $10,000, $15,000 on a hand of blackjack. Stupid. Just beyond stupidity, right?
Yeah.
And yet there's nothing that's different about me and the guy I've met, and many people like him, who had a $1 scratch-off addiction. And we process the gambling the same way. It didn't matter. The money's irrelevant when you suddenly have a problem. And when you hear these stories that you're alluding to, where kids are involved and people attempt suicide and want to drive off a bridge and they lost everything. And going to prison, losing your freedom. And like these stories are raw and they're real. And the reason I do it and want to talk to those types of people, just real quick, is because I think if you humanize the addict a little bit more, people would be more acceptable of hearing their stories and wanting to help them.
I can see that.
Because one of the big things is, if you look at the three big addictions, so alcohol, drugs, and gambling.
What about sex? Honestly, sex is on that list now.
Like the three big ones,
I got
right?
you.
So an alcoholic's an alcoholic. That's what we call them. A drug addict, we call you a drug addict. But for a sex addict, I'm sure we're just calling you a sex addict, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we put an adjective in front of gambling addict, and we're degenerates. And I hate that. And I was one. But I hate the fact that we can't look at it as, look, I didn't want to become a gambling addict. I didn't want gambling to control and overtake my life. And I got nobody to blame but myself. Nobody held a gun to my head and say, bet more often, any of that. I own it. I'm the bad guy here. But I'm not a degenerate.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I want other people to tell their stories, cops, firefighters, librarians, teachers, insurance salesmen, lawyers, is because they're regular, normal people. Like, their story didn't play out like mine did on the front and back pages of the newspaper. They're just trying to get by in their lives. And I think if we give them a little bit of grace, we allow them to do that in a much more successful manner.
Real fast, do you think doing the show keeps you away from temptations that might pop up if you weren't doing a show like that?
Yeah, earlier on, more so than now. Like, I'm, you know, in year six without gambling in any way, shape, or form, which I'm obviously proud of. Like, it seems still to be proud of doing of that. But
that's a huge
like,
deal.
Dude, I gambled all day, every day for, you know, 2 years. And the fact that I could live my life without gambling or having the urge to gamble. Now, I'd be lying if I told you I never have the urge. There are moments where I'm like, boy, it'd be cool if I could go play a hand of blackjack or put money in a game I feel strongly about. I don't. And I have a real good support system around me that also makes sure I'm doing the right thing. You know, but there are people struggling with it, you know. And I think one of my first, like, real personal connections to addiction was, believe it or not, was with Dwight Gooden, who I gotten to know very, very well. And I'll never forget years ago, before I had my issues, and I don't think Doc would mind me telling this story, there were moments when Doc would go missing. Okay. Family had no idea where he was. We all assumed the worst. He's using again, and he's in a bad place, or God forbid he's dead. And there was one particular time where, I'm not going to say the other names, there were eight of us that went looking for him. And we knew he was in New York. The last time he was seen was in New York. And eight of us went out one night to bad places trying to find him. And we never found him, and you know, he wasn't there, and he was actually fine. He was using at the time, but he was fine. And I was like, I don't get it. Like, you're Dwight Gooden. Like, what do you mean you can't say no? I just didn't I didn't understand addiction. And then you do it, and you go through it.
Yeah.
And you have a better appreciation for how hard it is to be the addict. And obviously, our families are, you know, the first people, you know, that we hurt and the people closest to us. But I have a greater appreciation for people that go through it and obviously conquer it. You know, like one of the great lines, Robert Downey Jr. had a massive drug problem.
Oh, he was a mess.
He came out and he goes, getting clean's the easy part. Because beating, you know, drugs is easy. It's wanting to that's hard.
Yeah, I could see that.
And that was for me.
Pretty like, profound statement. I hear you.
I know you got to take a break. For me, and I'm sure many people listening have addicts in their lives and friends and whatnot. And here's, like, for me, the final step, which I've not gotten to.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yet, I don't know why I stopped.
Can I take a guess? Save your family?
No. I say that because my kids were always the most important thing in my life. My wife, my family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ever heard me anytime on the radio, it's all about my kids, my family. So they didn't suddenly become more important to me. And I wish I could figure out. I went to a casino in Pennsylvania. I had $60,000. I brought 30 in the casino with me. I left 30 in the car. I had already gone to rehab. I owned the fact that I was an addict. But ego, I wanted to convince myself I could stop if I wanted to stop. So I left the money in the car because I figured if I lose the money I go in with, I know I've got cash in the car. I'm not going to go to the car and get it. And there was I needed to split hands and double down.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the money to do it. And my ego was like, well, you got to play the game right. And you got the money to play it right. Go get the money.
Yeah.
Went outside, got the money, lost the money. And that's the last wager I ever made.
Was that after you were in jail?
It was before I went to jail, but I'd been arrested.
Wow.
So it was in between being arrested and sentencing. So
you still pushed it a little bit.
I went out to Algamas, a rehab center in Arizona. The day I came home, I went to a casino to prove to myself I could conquer it. And once I saw for myself, once I accepted I was an addict and I can't conquer it, that's the last wager I've ever made. Yeah, but I don't know why I stopped.
I mean, good that you did.
I'd be dead if I didn't. There's no doubt. I would not be here.
I think a lot of people deal with it even on lesser levels. I can only speak from my own personal experience. Like, the thought of watching a game and without any money on it was very difficult. And then you start to learn, like, hey, I can't afford to lose this money. And that's maybe the difference with a true addict where those
things... Right. Some of your brain goes up and says, I gotta
stop.
I
can't do it anymore. Right. Yeah, right.
Right. And where it could be $5, it could be $1,000. The numbers are irrelevant.
Right, exactly.
Because really that's for me, I didn't care about winning and losing at the end.
So then if it
I just had to play. I had
yeah,
to keep
it's
playing.
The action. It's less, if, as long as you're not destitute, it's the action.
I do think there's a part of ego involved in it.
Oh, it's
no?
all ego.
Okay,
no
that's what I'm saying.
It's ego and dishonesty. Yeah, I was the biggest egomaniac in the world about gambling. Like, underground games before shows.
God.
Was A-Rod, there? I know A-Rod.
No, but I was invited to that game.
Where?
So I'm sitting at, there's a place called the Lambs Club. All right, okay. It's a new owner, so I'm not ratting anybody out. I'm not that guy. And I'm having lunch there with executives from the Spike TV network when I was doing a show on Spike.
Oh, the Pros versus Joe's thing? Those
no,
the network
it
that
was,
had that, the same network, right?
It was the weekend pregame. Same network.
Yeah,
yeah,
I got you. Yeah.
I'm with the president and the CMO of Spike.
Okay.
I'm at the Lambs Club, a restaurant. Guy comes up to the table. He's like, big fan, nice to meet you. Has no idea who I'm sitting with, right? And he goes, I understand you like to play cards. And I'm kind of like, yeah, like, I'll meet you after lunch. We can have a, I'm happy to have that conversation. At the time, he goes, well, I run the game. Okay, that it's $25K to walk in the door. You have any interest? Dude, I'm sitting with a guy that's employing me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, but, you know, give me your phone number. I'll
These guys give me a nice raise. I'll be there for 20
years. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff I was now dealing with. Yeah. You know, so the A-Rod game, which there's a big game in Jersey, it was $50K to walk in the door.
And you had access to everything. You had the access. That's the thing.
I had access to everything.
You walk in wherever you want. You got the money to back it up.
Yep.
You're making big money doing the morning show.
Everyone knows who you are, so you're good for it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't hide. You're going to find Craig at some point. He's got to be on the radio.
Right. And what goes against what most people think is most compulsive gamblers, you go to the casino and this dude's high-fiving at, like, you know, the craps table.
Yeah. That's not the guy who's got a problem.
That is the compulsive gambler.
I hear you.
We don't want anybody to see it.
Yeah, and they usually don't enjoy the wins.
No, I want to be alone. I want to be private. Just give me my bubblegum vodka and Grand Marnier and I'm good.
Good God. Interesting.
Like, I was at Borgata, and I'm like, I'm not gambling without a bottle of Grand Marnier and a bottle of bubblegum vodka next to me.
And they bring it to you because you're playing 15,000 a hand.
They come to me and they go, look, we can't really find the bubblegum vodka. I go, it's in the nightclub. They go, well, the nightclub's closed. It's like 3 p.m. I'm like, well, find it.
Yeah.
They found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to lose.
Not if you're playing
it.
$10 a hand. They give you a
no
warm
bubblegum vodka,
light.
But we got some bazooka for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good seeing you guys. Well, happy holidays.
Good to see you doing well.
By the way, are you loving New Jersey?
I love
New Jersey.
Love New Jersey.
I told you.
Yeah,
I know. My mom doesn't love that I'm there, but I love it.
Your mom can visit.
Go to Long Island, pain in the neck to go back. But yeah, I love it. The commute's better. Jersey in general better.
Yeah, I did hear a rumor from one of your neighbors. I got to be careful. Don't be lighting little fires on the deck during a drought.
Yeah,
I'm watching you.
No, you're not a fire pit guy.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Don't be that guy.
He's definitely not that guy.
I'm not a fire guy. Period. All right, they told me that Reed's here. You guys want to continue this conversation?
Craig, we gotta let you go.
So.
Peace. Be good.
Thank you.
Have a great Christmas.
Good
you too, pal. Right. We'll see you soon.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. For BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
Hi, BT. Our sights and thoughts from Week 13 in the NFL, or takeaways from Week 13 in the NFL. For me, the number one thing, and I actually made notes of this. Usually, we'll do it like the day that we're doing it. But I was watching these games in real time a lot because Giants already played, and the Jets was the Jets. Russell Wilson, I watched a lot of that game with the Steelers and Bengals, also because I picked it on Friday. I had the Bengals, and it was a bad pick. But Russell Wilson looks incredible. I know he's had a good year, but that game in particular, he's dropping dimes all over the field. What a freaking renaissance from Russell Wilson. What a find by the Steelers. The perfect marriage. It shows you the organization having structure and a foundation, bringing in the right player. Russell Wilson wasn't guaranteed anything, competing with Justin Fields, and he has looked tremendous with the Steelers.
That's culture, where, remember the Giants were thinking about him. Remember that? I was up there for a minute. And now, listen, if he comes here, I don't think he's leading the Giants to anything. But it does speak to what they have in place out there in Pittsburgh. I thought he was done. And like many, I thought he was done, but he's not. All right, I got one for you. This is just watching a game in the snow.
Mm.
I don't think there's anything cooler in sports. There's really not. I mean, it's not like you want to watch the Masters in a torrential downpour or, these wacky, blustery 25-mile-per-hour winds that really impacts golf. But football's different. Now, I don't want to be there when it's snowing. And when I had season tickets for the Jets for a couple of years, there were a couple like that, and it's rough. It's rough parking. You obviously can't tailgate the same way because they have all the mounds of snow. It's just, it's different. But sitting on my couch and watching a snow game, there's nothing like it. And then you get to the dome, and it's the various domes, fairly antiseptic, fairly benign. I mean, when you get, and it just snows and snows and snows, takes you back to playing in the street. I mean, we used to play football tackle on the concrete when it snowed.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was awesome seeing that the other night.
Love watching the snow games. Another takeaway I had, what the heck has happened to Justin Tucker?
Yeesh.
He can't make a kick.
I know.
It's a major problem. And I thought the Ravens would beat the Eagles, proven wrong again. Went 0-3, actually, this week in the perfect parlay and had the Browns last night, which they should have covered, but they didn't. Either way, Justin Tucker, dude, he can't make a kick. And Harbaugh keeps trying to make him kick. Like, you just, at some point, you got to say, mercy, it's not going to happen here. Cost them the game against the Eagles, in part, cost them the game. But that is a major problem. When we do our power rankings and the Ravens and all that stuff, and they've been up there for both of us, you know, over the course of the last 5-6 weeks or so, whatever it's been since we've been doing it, the Ravens are a top. You cannot win without a good kicker. Tucker went from being the best kicker to now not being able to make a kick.
He has, his brain has betrayed him. It's all mental. I mean, unless he's hurt, we don't know.
Right?
But yeah. I mean, listen, Sal, you get to this level, you have that kind of experience and that kind of success where, I mean, you are, and you're right. He was, you know, Vinatieri, it's a short list, but absolutely considered one of the absolute best of all time. No hyperbole. And now he is an absolute wreck where he's pushing, he's pulling, he's just, his brain has led to his undoing. He's a shell of what he was. I got one for you here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've kind of thought this, but it really hit me, maybe because I watched every single snap, and maybe when he does other games, I parachute in, bouncing from game to game. Tom's got to get a whole lot better at his job. Now, to be fair, it's his first year doing this. I don't want to be nuts, but he just seems too, I like Tom, so it's not like a, like prepackaged, like from the wax museum. Like, just be a guy. Be a dude.
He looks like a wax museum guy.
He actually does. Did you see him on Instagram? I mean, I wish I looked like that at his age. He was pulling in a, it was actually pretty funny. So he's got, I don't know, maybe a mahi-mahi, whatever. It's somewhere down Florida. Pulls out a beautiful fish, shirtless. I mean, he's cut / yoked. He looks phenomenal, right? But it's just like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah.
Really?
He's got a six-pack, dude.
Really?
He looks phenomenal. He really does.
He didn't look like that when he was playing.
No, I know. Although at the tail end, he started to with that whole Guerrero thing. Who knows what's going on? Whatever. Anyway,
maybe like Giselle, you know, being pregnant has motivated him to, you know what I'm saying? Like
maybe.
You find out your ex is now pregnant, dating the trainer. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I could get abs, too.
Not only dating a trainer, but dating a trainer that you can't kick his ass if you wanted to. He's like a fifth-tip black belt, no matter what.
Well, if Brady took
the kid's going to wreck you.
If Brady took his hands and put all his rings on it and punched them, maybe, you know,
that's true.
Like
that's true. Maybe, but when you're a fifth tip black belt, you're going to intercept that punch before it even gets to your flesh.
Good point.
I hear it.
Good point.
The thing about Brady, though, like, I think he could be good and I think he could be great, but he's got to learn how to be a dude. He just seems a little disconnected from the rest of us. And think about, like, what made, I know it's a different presentation, but what made Madden?
Yeah.
And, you know, man, looked like a slob, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, geez. but he did. He was like just the caveman, the everyman. I don't know. What makes Charles Barkley appealing? I know Charles has a gazillion dollars in the bank, but he's just a guy. He's like, Brady's just too waxed up, too stiff.
I got it. All right, a couple more real quick here. I mentioned this before, so I'll keep this one quick with Baldy a little bit. Nobody is seeming to rip that Penix pick now. Remember at the draft, oh, how could they take Penix? Look at the idiot Atlanta Falcons. Oh, they take a quarterback when they just signed Cousins. No, the bad move, and I said this before, before the signing, during the signing, before the draft, after the draft, the bad move was signing Kirk Cousins. Picking Penix was the right move. Kirk Cousins, you stink. He is horrible. How he has ripped off all these NFL teams for all the money that he's gotten. He is terrible. Good attitude, good person, bad quarterback. So it should be, as Baldy said himself, it should be the Penix show in Atlanta. And drafting Penix wasn't the problem. Signing Cousins was.
Yeah, there was a point where I was just never on the Kirk Cousins train. I'm like, oh my God, this guy, he looks average speed, if not below, average arm talent. Like, there's nothing special. He never admitted a single quality where I'm like, oh, this guy, this is the dude. And then he started throwing up 35 touchdowns a couple. I'm like, all right, I mean, you got to give him credit. Now he's back to being the guy that I really never thought was very good. First of all, he's getting older, the Achilles rupture, but yeah, it might be Penix time. And you were on top of that. A lot of people questioned the move there by drafting Penix when they did, when you had Kirk Cousins. Very well might prove to pay big dividends. I got something out. It came up very quickly before. I'm going to double down. There is a chance that the Jets and the Giants draft 1-2.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to take you through all the different machinations, but you can do it on Tankathon if you want, if you want to. I'll just tell you, here's the brief snapshot. Number one, all you need to know is this. Right now, the Giants are third, the Jets are sixth. Who's number one? The Jaguars are number one. The Jaguars' strength of schedule is very low, is very below 50%. They play the Titans twice, they play Vegas, and they play, I can't even read my handwriting there, another team that they're supposed to beat. So the Jaguars are going to win some games.
Let me see. Can I make it out?
Can you make that out? There's no way you can make that
Vegas?
Out. Raiders!
Oh, okay.
There you go!
Okay.
You could make that out, though, could you?
No, I'm seeing...
Look at that thing. Look at that little word there. Look at my scribble scratch.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. Yeah, you got like chicken scratch right
there. I do, but it works until it doesn't, which it didn't, but I figured it out. No, they're going to win some games, and listen, the Giants, I don't even think they're going to beat the Saints this week. I don't. I know that they can. I don't think that they will. Jets ain't beating the Dolphins the final two times. There's a chance. 1-2, draft Jets and Giants.
Which is pathetic. Last one, this is just a quick note here. Because I watch a lot of the Cardinals-Vikings game. Cardinals, I do think, and Boldy talked about this, I would bet them right now to win that division.
I don't think you're wrong. I like them.
They are tough. A tough loss in Minnesota, but they are tough. And the other thing from that game, the difference to me with Sam Darnold, his confidence. Dude.
Yeah.
But it's not even just like he knows how to read the... He looks like a different player because he's slinging it. He'll make mistakes. He'll throw interceptions. Sam Darnold's confidence right now is at an all-time high, certainly to anything that we saw when he was with the Jets or even with the Panthers after that. He is playing a very confident brand of football. Still not great, in my opinion, but the confidence is a world of difference from where it was.
Listen, the thing about Darnold, and because we were so, you know, run over by the Wilson stuff, it wasn't as heavy with Sam, maybe because with Zach it was the second time in a row we're going through this. So I thought Sam Darnold's time with the Jets was actually a little mispositioned. Like, he was better than people think. In 2019, he had 19 touchdowns, 13 picks. Like, not great, but nobody to throw the football to. 62% completion percentage. I remember, I think it was against the Broncos on a Thursday night game. He had this sick move. He juked out some linebacker in the open field, trucked him, and, like, took it to the house. Like, Darnold as a Jet, like, I don't want to say that I expected this kind of a renaissance because I didn't. But I'm not stunned. Whereas Zach Wilson goes on, if he goes on the rehab tour in a year or two, I think I'd be a little more surprised.
All right, there you have it. Week 13, jamming up the A-gap. All right, that does it for us. Thanks, everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. Thanks to Craigie for stopping by.
That was fun.
Always fun to catch up with him. We'll be back at it tomorrow, BT, 10 a.m. Looking forward to seeing you then.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens, if anything new, in the Soto sweepstakes. So stay tuned for
Knicks.
That. Go Knicks tonight. Yeah, big NBA Cup game. We'll be locked into that as well. All right, Evan and Tiki coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.